everything from washing machines to TVs. You'll always be looked after at Tom O'Burke Electrical, Castle Island.
Do you hate flying but still want to explore Europe? Enjoy one of our no-fly tours at Ocala and Coach Holidays. Discover Lourdes or explore the Basque region with our Spanish tour to San Sebastian, La Rioja and Bilbao. For more details, call 064-66-31095 or visit ocalaandcoaches.com.
A wide range of topics, an even wider range of views. Talk about on Radio Kerry. Parenting advice on Talk About.
Now, a very warm welcome to Margaret Gilbert, who has just joined us in studio. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you very much, Deirdre.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit today, I suppose, on the wider subject of study, but we'll incorporate homework as well. And the whole thing of your child and their academic journey, be they in baby infants or leaving cert, and the role parents have to play in all of that. So where would you like to start?
I suppose, do you know, it's a very broad topic, But I suppose we have to come back to the basics. Education is important, but it's only a small part of the child's journey. So if we're working with very young children and, you know, they're going into the education field, preschool, it's all pressure from the word go. They're in preschool, it's all about learning what they'll get, that they'll be ready for primary school, that then they're going on to secondary school. It's all about exams, all about focus. But I suppose at the very start, we have to look at what are our values around education. Because a lot of us don't think about that. So a lot of us have very strong values about education coming into child rearing. And just for an example, if we really, really value education and that the belief is coming from to get on well in life, you need a good education. That came from an era where there was scarcity, where it was thought that a good job, good income equated with specific jobs like teachers, like professionals, all that kind of thing. But we actually realise now that the accountant, the mechanic, the hairdresser, all those that are natural skills and natural creativity in some people's hands, you can make as good a living out of them as you can out of other things.
And probably better in some cases.
Yeah. And we've come to an era in life where the education system isn't for an awful lot of children. And we're trying to figure out what's driving the school avoidance or the school cans. And why is it happening now? And I've just kind of realised why it's happening now is we've an expectation in society that everyone will go to school, get an education, will get a degree, we will go to college. Whereas actually people naturally went off on different pathways at junior cert, at inter cert, at other stages in the education system. They went off a natural pathway, a pathway that was for them. So it was into alternative educations like apprenticeships. But now children are almost seen as a failure if they go off on that pathway early. You know, so a child that finds school and finds study challenging, their pathway might be into the mechanics, into things that they're gifted at, might be into the National Learning Network, whereas education is broken down into more real-life learning, applied subjects and things. So you could get a young fella there to find school really, really hard, but he could be an undertaker. He knows exactly what size coffin a person needs by seeing them. He knows exactly what size to dig a grave. He knows exactly what are the strong men in the group that are going to be able to drop that down into the ground. He doesn't need all these applied maths.
Shakespearean sonnets.
Do you know all that kind of thing? And there's multiple intelligences out there. our academic system favours the scientific intelligence, those that will sit and listen and learn stuff, and so it's scientific. But actually, Gardner, he's a theorist that gave us a beautiful thing. We have people intelligence, people that will be counsellors, people that will be psychotherapists, psychologists that want to understand how people think, how they behave, how that impacts our behaviour. There's intelligence music. There's musical intelligence, there's linguistic intelligence where we're really good at words, reading, all that kind of thing. So we have to look at what our child is, not what the academic says they want should be or what we want them to be. It's about looking at logic, reasoning isn't for everyone. And then we have different learners. We have oral learners that listen. But we have kinesthetic learners that like to do stuff, like the home economics, the practical stuff in, woodwork, metalwork and all that kind of thing. So we need to understand the kind of learner our child is, what are their strengths are, instead of just blindly pushing them into a system and expecting them to go from A to B and manage. So that's our type of learner. That's the strengths that they have and things. What kind of intelligence have they? But then we have to look at the emotional side of it. It's not about getting A's, B's, C's, but it's about can they manage? Can they cope? Are they happy in themselves? Is it, you know, even to sit down to study, we have to be able to regulate ourselves, calm ourselves, and then we can study. A dysregulated child is a separated brain. They're in the emotional brain. They're not in the logical reasoning. So we can't actually study if we're not comfortable, if we're not calm, regulated, we can't actually study. And getting on well in life is about emotional intelligence, being able to manage and cope with the ups and downs in life, and that includes study, the pressures of study. So at the very onset, when we talk about young people, we need to look at everything, not just the academics and where we're focused on where it's going to get them. But there's an awful lot of stuff that has to be taken into account of, stuff that, do you know, when I started out parenting and around the academic, I knew nothing about multiple intelligences. I thought going to school and getting leaving certs and getting good points meant an education thing, that you get on well in life. But I had to rethink that. And there's a lot of beliefs in family homes, and I come across it all the time. She says, if you don't get a leaving cert, you're going nowhere.
Yeah,
the minimum is leaving cert. Even to the extent if a child's mental health isn't doing very well and they're challenged with it, and you say to parents, we need to rethink school. And what's your thinking? They said they need at least a minimum of a leaving cert. And you're saying, hang on a minute now. They can't even go into school day in, day out, and they're in first year, second year, third year, and you're talking about a minimum of a leaving cert. So what pressure is that already putting on a child? Mm-hmm. So we really have to rethink what are our values around education. Is mental health and wellness, if that's a priority for us, does it not trump education? I'm not saying education isn't important, but there's more ways to get there. So if you have a child that's doing absolutely nothing, no study whatsoever, then we must look at why is that? Is it because the academic system has no interest for him? Is it because he can't study? He's no idea how to do it. Is it because he feels too pressurised? So a child that won't study, it's not because they're lazy. It's not because they don't want to. But it's actually a pattern that has probably built up that they can manage.
So how do you ascertain why they're not studying? Is it just through conversation with them?
It is. But checking in with them. What is school like for you? What's your favourite subject? I know that there's exams coming up or whatever, and I've noticed that you're not sitting down doing anything. What book's that? Why can't you do it? And I mean, a child might say something to you, I hate school. a parent's first reaction is, well, you still have to go, you still have to get a leave insert. That's our usual reaction. But we need to sit with them and say, I hear you, and you hate school. So what parts of it do you hate? Do you know what I mean? So if you have a child that really, really hates school and is struggling to go there, and I always hear parents say, but sure, if he applied it, he's really intelligent. If he applied himself, he'd get 5 A's. But actually, he can't apply himself, so therein lies the problem. So if a child says, I hate it, tell me more about it. Say to him, I don't want you to go through school system hating it. What I want for you is to feel safe inside in school, and that you're applying to something that makes sense to you. So, what parts of school do you hate? What parts, is there any part of it that you like? If school isn't for you, I'll explore other options with you. So like even a youngster that's coming up, we find a child manages the pressure maybe till junior cert, till the first exam comes up. So if you have a child under real pressure coming up to that, and next thing school avoidance pops up, they're not going, they're getting worse, they haven't studied all along, but they're not going, then we'd be saying to that child is, if there's an alternative out there, like mechanics, like aeroplane...
A trade, an apprenticeship.
Building, carpentry, what, hairdressing, beautician, massage therapist, whatever it is, all you need, if you look with that child on the ETB website, what does the child, what's the minimum educational requirement that a child needs to actually get in there? So it might be 5 D's in 5 subjects, but they might need English and they might need maths. So you look with a child, if that's the minimum you need, is that a carrot and stick? Can you just do just enough for you to get that minimum requirement so you can branch off after 3rd year.
We'll sit with that for a minute, Margaret, because I need to take a break. But I just want to remind listeners, if you have a question for Margaret about school, whether your child is overdoing it and up all night with their head in the books or not opening the school bag from one end of the day to the next, whatever end of the spectrum you're at, if you have any question about your child, their academic journey, their homework, their relationship with study, send it in to us now, 066 712 3666. Margaret Gilbert's going to stay with us and we'll have more from her after these.
Parenting advice on Talk About.
Right, Margaret, we're talking about children and academics and study and all of that. Let's continue through with your scenario where the child isn't inclined to study and doesn't want to do their homework and doesn't particularly like school. And you say, well, what don't you like about it or whatever? And they say, it's all boring, which is what most teenagers will say. What do you say to that?
I suppose what we're asking him then to check in with him is, what would make it better? What are your subjects that you do like? You know, I suppose it's very important that when children go into especially secondary school, that they're geared towards the subjects that they like and that they have strengths in, because they're more likely to be interested in them and to stay going and be motivated by them. But if a child is bored in class, I suppose it's asking what could help them to make it better for them. Sometimes boredom comes from most of the stuff going over their head, that they're not able to listen. They've tuned out a lot of the time, too much sitting down. So a parent might work with the young fella to get little projects. If you have a primary school child, do you know that there's something in their day, making a model, mechan or building or something that's of interest to that child to keep them motivated? Because if the subjects are all talked down, Irish, English, you've maths, they're all challenging subjects, like, and a lot of children, they can tune out because they're highly intelligent and maybe it's boring to them and they need extra materials and stuff to be covering. So little projects and things that they can do, that they can build on. But if you have a child that just finds the learning hard and the academics some schools are great to have a little project in school for them if you have a child that's interested in music. I know some schools have put in kind of a band and a room that children can go into and play the music and things. But if he's into farm and things, they might do model farms or something for their science projects or for their mechanical drawing or something, you know, do model. Because we must try and keep students interested, and it's only them can tell us what might help them. But it's up to the teachers then. A lot of teachers are very open to giving children a bit of research to do, a bit of academics. I know a little boy that had real, real challenges going to school, but he was great at making little things, and the teacher supported him to do little business things. He made little bags with kind of souvenirs in that he could sell, and they did a kind of business project around the school with him for that. So they're great to try and engage children in the learning. If we don't engage them, we're going to lose them.
Talk to me about, we'll say the parent listening this afternoon, and we'll say they have a daughter doing the leaving, yeah, and she's, you know, too busy like having a good time and meeting her friends and going off downtown, and but doesn't seem to be putting the shoulder to the wheel at all.
Yes, yes. I suppose I'd be checking in with that young person to see, you know, what do they hope to achieve after the Leaving Cert. Do you know whether they're thinking of college or whatever? And if her goals are fairly highfalutin, that she wants to go to college and do pharmacology or do that kind of thing, then it's having the conversation with her. Well, how can we help you to structure your studies so you're fitting all that in and things? But you then have a student that is kind of isn't that interested in school, and she's having a ball. A parents, to me, we need to make, say, the space available for the young people to study. Sit down with them to see, you know, do they understand how to study? Have their structure, routine, you know, how to break down subjects and all that. So we'd be offering them help and things. But I suppose if a young person, right, isn't taking it too serious, they're on their own journey and their own pathway. Sometimes we can't force them. We can make them to do it. So I'd be saying to the parents, need to balance between the young person having her fun out, her time for going out and all that. But that we're also saying to them, OK, you have 5 hours Saturday or Sunday. The rest is expected for study. So we won't be running you places then. So we're making the opportunity and this holding the expectation that she will study. We still can make them. Now, we could say to young people, do you want us to sit down with you and we'll break it down into little pieces? If you find it hard to study, I've no problem sitting with you for a little while or doing work in the room with you. Often young people like company while they're studying. So in the kitchen, they might do it at the kitchen table while the parent is doing their own tasks or jobs. And you might say to them, maybe 20-minute bursts. But if the child is completely and utterly resistant to it, I think there's no point in fighting with them. They're on their own journey and they'll experience natural consequences.
This lady just got in touch with us. Well, actually, I don't know, it mightn't be a lady, it could be a gentleman. It's a parent in any event. Parent says, my son is 21. He left school at 16, struggled hugely with attending secondary, totally lacked motivation, and he's still floating. This person says he's attended 4 courses since he left school and same again, no interest after a few weeks and not attending then. Is there any advice you could give me?
Yeah, I suppose we've more and more young people fitting into that category. It's called the NEET, not in education, not in employment and not in meaningful training, where they're floating around the place, and it's a growing problem for across the world, for the adolescents in the 18 to kind of 30 age group. So for that parent, what you're looking at is minimise the supports and the services that we're giving to that young person. So we increase their motivation to take on more roles in life. they're floundering between the adolescent child and the adult roles that they're not taking on. So the more enabling behaviours that we do, like all the monies we might give, the services, the cleaning, the cooking, feeding and all that.
Laundry.
We start reducing all that and start paring it back. So what we're doing is kind of evoking the young person to take on more personal responsibility for their life. Fees out of a job and short money, not giving them the money and all that kind of thing. So just the bare minimum. So it can be tough work, but it can be done. What are all the behaviours we're engaging in that might be helping him to stay that way?
Yeah, a bit of tough love.
Yeah. Bit of tight finances. We're trying to evoke internal motivation to take on the adult roles. So...
Before we run out of time, I'm anxious as well to talk about the high achiever child, the young person who wants to do medicine, we'll say, or something else that has very high points, and they're like, you know, hell bent on this, and they're focused and they're studying. How do you set them up for, you know, it might go your way, but it mightn't go your way?
Yes. I suppose it's not our job to set them up for it. Our job is to calm that emotional environment. So if you've a young person in the house wired to the absolute moon and has them put under pressure, again, we allow them to have their space to study and all that kind of thing. But we don't have that somber kind of where the whole tone of the house is anxious, wired. We're trying to role model that education is part of it. Do you know what I mean? So the emotional tone of the house can't be so serious. It can almost be like a wake in the house. Don't bang the door, don't open it. Life goes on as normal around the house, and we're role modelling that for the young person. We encourage them to take breaks. We encourage them to look after their nutrition, their bit of exercise and things. So it's not all about the academics. And if they're perfectionists, then putting pressure on themselves and things, it's about we need to praise process. Not praise the A's and B's or anything, but just saying, the effort. I see you really, really working hard down there and things. And I suppose it doesn't just come to preparing her that she might fail. That's probably done all the way up. Do you know, we have to accept in life, it's not perfection we want. We just want to try. We want to do what we can and park it there. So that comes from a very young age. There's a lot of sentences we automatically say as parents that we think are supportive for young people, but it actually puts a lot of pressure on. So...
I bet you I'll be guilty of every single one of these. Go on.
I'm not pressuring you, but you do know how important these exams are. I just want you to reach your potential. That's a young person picks that up as you're not doing enough. If you just applied yourself, you'd fly. You're wasting your ability. So have you started yet? I'm only asking because I care. So
I've said every single one of those things, I'm sure.
You'll thank me for this someday. I don't mind what you get as long as you do your best. So at the end of the day, they're pressure statements rather than statements like, ask them, how are you feeling about things today? How's your head? Do you know, what would make getting started feel a bit easier? Just let's take one small step at a time. I'm here if you want company while you get going. They're very, do you want to begin now or after a break? Or let's figure out a plan together that feels manageable. So tell me what part feels hardest right now. And would it help if we broke this into smaller chunks? So again, we're approaching it in a very different way. And when we talk about praise the process, you worked really, really hard at that. We're tending to say, oh, you got 5 sums right tonight, or you got 1 wrong, or whatever. We're focused on the outcome. It's the process. I see you worked really, really hard on that all week. Well done. Or, you know, if somebody helps you with a job around the house, thank you for bringing in the shopping with me. I really appreciate that. So we're praising the values, not the end product, not the outcome.
Margaret, unfortunately, we've run out of time. It always flies. Somebody's been on and saying most parents are working during the day and they can't hear this. Well, just to say to you that I will get, that's the beauty of podcasts, and I will get Margaret's podcast of today up on the website as soon as we can. It'll be up before the end of the day. So anybody who knows a parent who could benefit from hearing what Margaret has been saying, direct them towards the podcast. Margaret, just remind people how to get in contact with you.
Lovely. My phone number is 087-174-7813.
And you might leave that with Mary on reception in case anyone wants to write it down. And you're also on Margaret Gilbert.
LifeCoaching.com.
Perfect. We'll take a break.